Many years ago, the famous actress Sarah Adler was never willing to accurately admit her age. On one such occasion, a newspaper man asked her to tell her age. Without hesitation, Sarah replied that she was 68. The reporter objected, "But, Madam Adler, how can you be 68? I just asked your son his age, and he said that he is 60. Sarah replied, "My son lives his life, and I live mine." Ah, the art of the fib, the white lie, the harmless half-truth. Admit it, we are all guilty of them. The real question is, how many have you told so far this morning? Were any of them told to me? And then the real problem is, we've all gotten so good at telling them that we start believing them ourselves, lying to ourselves, and we believe our own lies. We can no longer tell whether what we're saying to ourselves is true or not. Oh, well, it doesn't really matter now, does it? Or does it really matter? Leading Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn of Lodi, New Jersey, sends an introduction to his published devotional readings for each month of the year. For this October, he wrote, and this is a little long, "I grew up in a kosher Jewish home. Well, not exactly kosher. My mother would never cook ham and never have anything to do with pork. But on the other hand, we had bacon. We would never touch ham, but bacon was fine. Bacon was kosher. Bacon didn't seem like ham. It was hard and crispy. We kind of had a feeling that it had something to do with pork, but no one really talked about it. Nobody wanted to talk about it. It was taboo. Not the bacon, but talking about where it came from. And yet, there was still a little guilt there. You could tell when there was bacon frying in the house. Everyone acted just a little bit guilty. We were all doing something just a little bit illegal. Then as I started growing up, it began to dawn on me, wait a minute, bacon is pork. So I confronted my parents and asked, if we were supposed to be kosher, why did we eat pork? They answered, we never had pork. We just had bacon. And we don't talk about bacon, not in this house. As long as you live under my roof, you'll eat bacon, and you won't ask any questions about it. Of course, as most of us know, bacon is pork. But the strange thing with many Jewish families who would never eat pork, they eat pork, they eat bacon, and they don't really consider it to be pork. It's a loophole, a gray area. The point here is not about bacon or the law or whether you keep a kosher home or not. The point is the bacon principle. God gives us His word. His word is clear. What we tend to do with His word, even as believers, is apply the bacon principle. We take what is clear and we bend it, dilute it, soften it, expand it, water it down. The Lord tells us that certain things are absolutely wrong, but we rationalize it. We tell ourselves, it's not exactly wrong. It's not clearly wrong. It's not always wrong. Or even if it is wrong, it's not so wrong. We tell ourselves, it's only bacon. The adulterous behavior is not really adulterous, only flirting. The indulgence is not really lust. The drinking is not really drunkenness. The anger is not really bitterness. The want is not really greed. The vanity is not really pride. The behavior is not really selfish. The talk is not really gossip. All we're doing is calling pork bacon. We're rationalizing it. Even when we admit that the sin really is sin, we tell ourselves, it's not really so bad. It's not really so unacceptable that we have to completely rid it from our lives and hearts. We can play around with it, indulge in it just a little bit, have a bite once in a while. All we're doing is taking pork and calling it bacon so that we can forget that it's really pork. The Lord can never bless it. If you want the joy and fullness of God's blessings and power, then you have to do it His way. Doing it His way starts by seeing it with His eyes and judging it by His standard. It starts by calling sin, sin, and making what is unacceptable to God unacceptable in your life. It starts when we stop rationalizing the sin, justifying the behavior, diluting the severity, and allowing in our lives what is not acceptable to God's Spirit. Do what you have to do. Make the change you have to make. The blessings will come, but they will only begin when you start seeing that bacon for what it is, pork. Now, don't we all just love bacon? And we can thank God that He made bacon acceptable for us. Recall that tablecloth filled with all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, kosher, non-kosher, that came down from heaven in Peter's trance as he prayed on that rooftop in Joppa, as recorded in Acts 10. And we surely remember those wonderful words from God which He spoke to Peter, not once, not twice, but three times in that trance. Nothing is unclean if God declares it to be clean, as Acts 10:15 records. So the kosher rules no longer apply. Not even to Jews, they don't. But most of them don't know that. In fact, many Jews, Orthodox ones particularly, take pride in their kosher laws because deep down inside, they feel that observing kosher makes them just a little bit better than everyone else who does not observe kosher rules. And so, for them, observing kosher ends up being a sin of pride. Now, eating kosher foods, not necessarily exclusively, but very often, actually is healthy. Kosher foods do promote better overall health for our bodies, but we don't do kosher just to be healthier. That is not and has never been the point. We've been reading through the entirety of the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll finish it next Sunday. King Solomon wrote this in his older years after he had lived the bulk of his life. As perhaps the richest man in the world at that time, and one of the richest of all time, he had absolutely everything he desired and could imagine. And yet, all he could advise with all his blessed God-given wisdom was that, in the final analysis, everything in this life, everything in this world, all the stuff, all the diversions, all the entertainments, all the lovers, were meaningless. Compared to the eternal spiritual realities of which we are all obligated to return to at our physical deaths, nothing in this life has any meaning at all, unless it is lived for God and by God, at Holy Spirit's direction, by His power. But Solomon did not know Holy Spirit then. In fact, his knowledge of Father God himself was hardly more than skin deep. So unlike his father, King David, if only he had taken more after David. But 1,000 years later, things have greatly changed. Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Word of God, God Himself, has come in physical flesh as a human man. He exhibited the kingdom of heaven wherever He went, allowed Himself to be slandered, libeled, mocked, betrayed, finally arrested, tortured, and nailed to a cross in crucifixion. He gave up His spirit in physical death at the moment He chose, and then, 3 days later, rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven from which He had come. By all this, He thereby initiated a total reset of all creation. Adam's sin had enabled the whole creation to be corrupted. Lord Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for that sin, removing sin's curse from all creation. Now, all the universe could be restarted, renovated, remodeled. He sent Holy Spirit to the earth, this time to live in all believers, you and me, and through Holy Spirit's direction and power, we are changed. We come to know the truth, which is Christ Jesus Himself in His fullness. Just as the first disciples finally did, and just as all the thousands upon thousands of new believers did in the first century, including Peter and Paul and Timothy. For as much as King Solomon was limited in his understanding and perception of all life, now the believers who now live their lives in Christ are having their eyes and insight opened by Holy Spirit to ever more profound and higher, more excellent, deeper truth, which is the very mind of the Lord. We are now 2,000 years from those days of Timothy, the pastor of the great church of Ephesus. And it was then that the very prophecies, the very descriptions of what would happen 2,000 years later, our day, are written down ahead of time, also that we could recognize when we are, to know that Lord Jesus is getting Himself ready to make His grand second coming. 1 Timothy 4, 1-5 describes how hordes of people nowadays are departing from the faith, believing deceptions and lies, following demons and cultic secret knowledge. They're hypocritical liars. Haven't met any? Just go on TikTok and Blue Sky, and you'll soon want to shut them off, as your stomach will quickly turn. The truth is right here. He's in it. He is it. Put your head, your face, your nose in it, in Him, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. Read His word, His words, and follow them. He is the truth, and Holy Spirit will ensure we won't be deceived by the unremitting flood of lies, mostly from the liberals and Democrats these days, as pro-death forces struggle against pro-life forces in our governments. Newsflash, they lose, we'll win. So don't let them suck you into their schemes and hysterical fear-mongering insanity. Follow the truth. Let us pray. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came at just the perfect time, and that You have raised each and every one of us to be alive at just this perfect time for each and every one of us to be alive. We thank You that You have placed us on this earth, in this country, in this place, right this day, that we can be Your eyes, ears, hands, and feet to bring about Your word, Your truth, to this world that so desperately needs it. Empower us, dear Holy Spirit, that we may accomplish all that You have set forth for us in this life. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and for his sake, amen.